thank you very much and good morning. My name is Ulifile Sefako, member of this committee, and I'm representing Northwest. Thank you very much.
Thank you. My name is Lennox Keeler, member of the committee representing Eastern Cape.
Good morning, Musa Nkosi Mlambo from Gauteng.
I'm held by this. I'm a member of the committee. Thank you.
DDG, department, I'm going to give over to you. Thank you for introduction.
He's handing over to me. Good morning. I'm Buyo Tlale from the Department of Public Public Enterprises, Chief Director, Financial Analysis.
Morning, Chair, and morning, members. I'm Khatatso Tlakwidi. I'm the DDG for Manufacturing Enterprises, which has oversight over SAPCO in the Department of Public Enterprises. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair, and honorable members. My name is Harvey Teron, acting CEO of SAPCO.
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. My name is Lungile Mabete. The chairperson of SAFCO.
Morning, Chair and honorable members. My name is Trish Pillar. I'm the CFO at SAFCO.
Morning, Chair and honorable members. My name is Tamarin Jacobs, acting HR executive.
I just want to check and recall, when did we last see the minister?
Chairperson,
just
he just attended one meeting that I am aware of. The problem that we raised was unless in the study group, I raised the problem unless we can change, because it's not only Sufferance is there also, the dates of our meetings, then she will be able to attend before these cabinet meetings. I don't know. I cannot speak for her. Can the DDG maybe give a better explanation? Thank you.
I think I understand it's not only here. But we must also understand that minister is a deputy minister. He is a deputy minister. So if the minister cannot attend, the deputy minister is supposed to attend. Thank you.
Over to you. Good morning. Sorry,
DDG.
Good morning, honorable member minister. Can you please introduce yourself? Sorry, we already dealt with this point.
My apologies, Chair, for arriving late. My name is Zukiswa Ncetha, a member of the NSOP coming from Eastern Cape.
Thank
you very much, Chair. Chair, I concur with the statement that you have made with regard to Wednesdays, that they are, of course, quite difficult for ministers due to the clash with cabinet committee meetings. With regard to Deputy Minister this morning, unfortunately, Deputy Minister is traveling overseas. Therefore, he's also unable to be here this morning. We'll certainly relay to the Ministry the comments that have been made here with regard to an alternative representation for the ministry. Thank you.
I think we didn't receive any apologies for the deputy minister, not even before, and it is a concern. They must see and replace, because the impression that the one gets is that the select committee is not a priority. It's always the NA, and the members is concerned, because we are not less than the portfolio committee. Thank you very much. Honourable, before giving to you, I will give over to the Honourable Member.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. That will mean, taking from your comment, that the apology of, there's no apology actually from the Deputy Minister. It should, I think, be recorded as such. Thank you.
Can I allow the
Honourable
Member who came in to introduce himself?
Thank you, Chair. I'm sorry for being late. My name is Omi Singh, member of this committee from the province of KwaZulu-Natal.
Thank you very much. Before I'm going to allow you to do the presentation, Honourable Member Labastakhni, I just read out your apology, but welcome. And introduce yourself, so sorry. They come late and late.
Thank you, Chair. I'm Cathy Labiskakhni. I am a member of this committee from the NCLP representing the Western Cape, and I have to leave 10 to 11. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. I think we are going to start off by the, before I'm giving to give over to the sub-hall to do the presentation. Can we deal with the minutes? Otherwise, we won't be able to have a quorum. We are dealing with the minutes of the 2nd of November. It is set in presentation by the Media Development MDD. You can record it. And also the minutes of the 9th of November, Science and Technology. The minutes is being circulated. If I can get a person who can propose, we will take a second adoption of the minutes. Thank you. Honourable Parkes?
When you go on a salary, I propose.
For the 2nd of November one.
Yes, of course.
Okay, thank you. Honourable Gaylas?
I second.
Thank you very much. The 9th of November, can I have a proposal? Honourable Sapaku?
Second, Chair.
Thank you very much. Done and dusted with that one. Can we proceed now and give over to Sapaku for the presentation? Chairperson, over to you. I don't know who's going to do the presentation. Welcome, and it's not going to be so long. It's a very short meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. As SAFCOR, we must thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity to come and present.
Members, I will allow you to be happy and but because it's almost the end of the year, I can understand the feeling. But can you please respect the chairperson so that we can hear what he's presenting? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. As SAFCOR, we thank you the opportunity for the committee to call us and particularly and deal with the issues that are the subject of the agenda for today. We know that these are issues that have been at the core of most of the questions that have come from Parliament, both here in terms of the NCOP select committee, as well as even the portfolio committee. And we hope that we'll be in a position to give comfort to the members with regard to the issues. And of course, also, we are hoping that we'll also be getting some guidance and assistance on the issues that we consider as requiring some intervention in the process. Thank you very much. And SAFCOR CFO, Trish Filet, will do the presentation, and the team will respond to any questions. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chairperson of the NCOP Select Committee and honorable members. We will just begin with the company structure. SAFCO falls under the Republic of South Africa through the Minister of Public Enterprises, the 100% shareholder. In turn, SAFCO holds 100% of Komati Land Forest. Komati Land Forest holds 80% of IFLOMA, which is in Mozambique. SAFCO also holds 100% in Advocates Forestries SOC Limited and 100% in Kamplavane Timber SOC Limited. Overview of the SAFCO business. SAFCO conducts primary business within the commercial plantation forestry industry. 15 prime softwood sawlog plantation assets in Mpumalanga, Limpopo and KZN. We cover a total land area of 187,320 hectares, and our revenue generation is primarily from the sale of forest products, sawn timber, and value-added products. Komati Land Forest, KLF, owns and operates a sawmill in Timbadola, which is in Limpopo. That is a softwood pine processing sawmill located in Limpopo, as I said, and it manages one custom cut arrangement at this stage. IFLOMA, that is the Mozambique-based public limited liability company. IFLOMA was established in the 1980s as a government initiative, and 80% of the share capital was then sold off to KLF in 2004. The remaining 20% is held by IJAP, which is a Mozambique State Shareholding Management Institute. Total land holding, and we divide it into IFLOMA 1 and 2. IFLOMA 1 is 31,754 hectares. Of that, 16,178 hectares is plantable. And then we talk of IFLOMA 2, which is 69,000 hectares, and 45,000 of that is plantable area. SAFCO operates mainly in the rural areas, providing opportunity for economic development and participation within the local communities. Approximately 61% of the land is currently under claim, in which SAFCO is actively involved, supporting those land claimants and other community members, as well as other initiatives. Going straight into the land claims, you would see the map. This is just an overview of percentage land claims per the area or the plantation area. But just for a better view, you can see per province. So if we go to Mpumalanga, total claimants 20. Just to so that you understand the estimated area, it may not be accurate because some of the claims have not yet been investigated and confirmed. So where we have estimated area, in some cases it's the total area. So Mpumalanga we have 20 claimants, estimated area 67,507. Then we have 16 of that still in the investigation phase and 4 in the negotiation phase. In Limpopo, 23 in a total, 2 in investigation phase, 18 negotiation, 3 settlement phase, and then KZN there's just 1, and that 1 is in the negotiation phase. In terms of the settlement model, the leaseback settlement model was developed in line with a general forestry industry approach. However, the shareholder and the board requested that settlement model be reviewed to the leaseback and partnership models to contribute to the improvement of the community livelihood as well as continuation and sustainability of this forestry operation. SAFCO is currently revising the models according to the principles and also to ensure that the inclusion of the community
communities and land claimants in business operations value chain, as well as integration of CSI and the ED initiatives for the communities within the forestry value chain. In this process, the relevant stakeholders are being engaged to ensure that the model will incorporate all of the above. In terms of the second agenda item, which was SAFCOL's due diligence exercise and the investigations within SAFCOL, at the end of 2015, the SAFCOL board requested a due diligence to be conducted due to the following reasons. Some of the previous and existing investigations had not resulted in any criminal proceedings or the implementation of those recommendations. The board was somewhat uncomfortable with the information that was provided at the time by the executives in order to make critical business decisions, and it was seen to be that a review of all the internal controls within the company needed to be looked at and evaluated. To this end, the board appointed a service provider called 2RM with the following scope: to evaluate all current and previous investigations and evidence and propose and action further recommendations, to review the internal controls within the organization, conduct an asset verification, evaluate the state of SAFCOL, verification of employees, and also to assist with the drafting of affidavits, evidence, and proposed charges in cases where these came to light, and to be handed over to the Hawks and the National Prosecuting Authority. The value addition from the service provider 2RM's investigation: the investigation provided findings resulting in the following business activities or improvements within the organization. It led to an asset review where the useful life, valuation, and accuracy was determined. This led to better quality financial statements and more accurate financial statements in terms of the reporting standards. There was also a fire claims assessment that was performed. Minimum qualifications of employees within SAFCOL was reviewed and recommendations provided. Discontinuation of the triple BEE, log sales discount, and improvements within the general control environment within SAFCOL. In terms of a summary of the investigations against the SAFCOL executives and senior management as well as others, the number of cases that are with SAPS, so we have divided it into where the cases were opened. It was opened in Pretoria, Nelspruit, Sabi, and Balfour. So in terms of the previous executives, we have 7 cases open, 7 resigned, 0 dismissed. In terms of cases opened within senior management level, 12 individuals, 6 resigned. 3 of those employees were charged, 2 dismissed, 4 currently employed, and 2 matters have been resolved, 2 matters still in progress. Other employees, 18, 8 resigned, 5 were dismissed, 5 currently employed, of which all matters were resolved within the internal processes. In terms of the type of allegations of misconduct and the criminal offences reported, there were a lot of these cases relating to irregularities with the appointment of service providers and the appointment of service providers not in line with SAFCOL's procurement policy and procedure. Non-compliance with the PFMA Act 1 of 1999. Fraud, non-compliance with internal policies. Criminal charges relating to PFMA. Exceeded mandate in failing to approach SAFCOL's board in respect of overspend. Failure to comply with fiduciary duties, irregular appointment of an independent contractor, corruption, gross misconduct, gross dishonesty, financial misconduct, unethical conduct, unauthorized disclosure of company information. And that is our presentation. We will now take any questions or feedback. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm going to give over to Honorable Pakit, Honorable Gaila, Honorable Mlambu, Honorable Misa, Honorable Sefaku, sorry.
Let's welcome and appreciate the short presentation from SAFCOL. I just want to focus on page 11 or slide number 11. And I think I can say since I was born, it's for the first time that I see the spate of resignations of an institution. Now that triggers to me a question that says the time frame of the resignations and if you could give us the demographics of people who resigned, give us the demographics and the gender of people who resigned and the demographics, gender of people who have been employed. Now, I want the leadership of SAFCOL to explain this to us, Chairperson, because having 12 senior, six senior people, seven senior people resigning, others being dismissed, all that. I know and I appreciate if all this deals with the corruption, fraud, mismanagement, bumbling performance in our institution. But then also will not withstand the tendency that is existing in our institutions of paging people in our institutions and establishments so that you force them to resign because of the alleged, even if there's no verdict or charge that is so veritable on the charge. But because of unhealthy environment, unconducive environment, one will be forced to resign. Because if you say previous executive, you have seven, and all seven resigned, will you tell me really, out of the entire seven DDG, you don't have even a single individual who is immaculate? All these people are corrupt. I think we have a serious problem in our society. And you say senior management, we have 12. And half of that 12 resign. And from where I stand, I call this a colossal crisis. And you will ask yourself, how many state institutions are facing the similar cases or similar situation in terms of fraud, corruption, and mismanagement, or all that. And if you talk of misconduct? Please define the misconduct to us, dishonesty to us, unethical conduct to us, so that you unpack that to us, so that we understand. We don't brush things on top. Chairperson, Siyabulela.
I think the honourable member has more or less covered me. However, there should be financial losses, and if there are any financial losses, were you able to recover those losses from the people who reside? That is what I would like to know. Then, page 10 as well. On the investigations and findings, bullet 1, 2, 3, 4. The triple B disconnection of lock sales discount. How does it affect because I think there it is mostly the emerging sector. Why discontinue that because of COVID? How does it affect the emerging sector? Can you talk to us on that one, please? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. On page 6, on land claiming, if you can help us get clarity, I can see there is a summary of settlement and the stages thereafter, but if we can be enlightened as to on the negotiations, because they seem to be less negotiations and the number of investigations that are taking place when it comes to the status of his land claims. If we can at least be briefed as to what are the bottlenecks in terms of these investigations, why are they slow? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Mine is again on land claim, Chair. First, I see that there are only 3 provinces that you focused on. Does that mean these are the only provinces that have made claims? If not, then I get the courage on that. And again, on the same issue of land claim, your process started in 2009. It's nearly 7 years now. And definitely the applicants are very frustrated. I would like to know from you if there are any time frame set for you to really complete the process. And the other one, my point too, considering that SAFCOL has reported losses for 2 consecutive years, I want to check if there were any bonuses given to your executive on the year 2013-2014 and 2014-2015. And if yes, what were the basis for that? Regarding the 20 young people that have been trained by SAFCO, in which provinces did you do the training? And I would like to know if you took some few provinces, would it be extended to all provinces? My last point, again, is on page 10, on value addition. Sorry for that. It's on the issue of minimum qualifications for employees that is getting reviewed. What was the reason for that? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I think it goes back to the absence of both the minister and the deputy minister. Because seemingly it appears that this is Kwaha Matarego. Ko omulo mwa aitrelanga vitate. It's very clear that you do the translation. just want to check your internal
mechanism that we are having to do oversight. Do you have that intact to make your own internal oversight? Because the manner in which you are really losing your staff seems there is indeed something that is not being done well. And what is it? Because you must have a system of rewarding your good performer and ensure that you keep them. Most of the questions that I wanted to ask were already asked by my colleagues here. But indeed, this need to be emphasized that the committee need to be taken very seriously, because the issue that we are raising here really wanted the executive to be here. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Member.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to know, I've been covered through all the other questions. I just want to know about the leaseback settlement model and the partnership model that you say that you want to, or the board requested it to be reviewed. What is the time frame of this process? When will it be finished? And then, Chairperson, through you, I think the committee would also be interested in the change in this model after the review has been done to represent it to this committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member, for the question. I was saying to Eric that your questions and my questions are almost the same. I also noted that I show him that I want time frames on the end, and also you must come back so that we can see the model and go from there. That is the one thing.
Those losses, Chairperson, are 44.1 million. Were you able to recover the 44.1 million according to the report?
Yeah.
Okay.
For me, as the discontinuation of the BBBE block center discount, can you please explain that we can get a sense of what is going on? Thank you. I also want to refer to this, Jonathan, my last comment. We expected, but like the Honourable Member Pakis was saying, remember when we visited your area in Sabi? We picked up that time that there are problems in what the situation, but we really want to see the cases and the court cases, because we won't be able to meet those officials to find out that everything that you did to them was in line with the law and, you know, whatever can get it, we can have a sense of what happened and what happened. Thank you, I'm going to get over to you for the
thank you, Madam Chair. The team will respond, but I think let me just deal with a few questions, and then I'll ask the acting CEO to respond to others, and then the CFO and the executive HR will also respond.
Thank you. I want you to respond, but the BDG report.
department also having a big responsibility to give us some clarity on this, because the minister is the oversight board.
Thank you, may I please? Thank you very much. Perhaps to clarify the issue specifically with regard to the executives and also with regard also to the process, when we were appointed as the new board in August 2015, we found the company having four executive members. One was white male, as COO, and three black female, the CEO, the CFO, as well as executive HR. And the resignation of, the first resignations were that of the CEO as well as the CFO, who turned out their resignations on the 15th of December. They turned out the resignations on the 14th of December, and that was brought to the attention of the board on the 15th of December, because there was, we had a board meeting on the 15th of December. And subsequently, in fact, the board accepted the resignations, and the reasons were that the executives, in fact, one of the challenges that we had, we were having as a board with the executives, was that they were giving us challenges with regard to information. There's, in fact, there was a lot of misrepresentation. Maybe to help you, to remind you, those members who were present in our last meeting, the presentation, SAFCOL's presentation, presented a picture of SAFCOL having one sawmill, which was Timber Dollar, whilst in fact there was another sawmill, the sawmill, although that sawmill is currently not operational, which was never disclosed until the matter was brought to my attention as the chairperson by the AG. And it's only then that the issue got disclosed, which is, in fact, it turned out to be a huge asset. It was not just a sawmill, but there are other plants, including the veneer plant, that is part of the assets that we never disclosed. There's quite a number of others, including, if you look at our previous presentation, Abacus and Gamhlabane were indicated as dormant. In fact, when we arrived, there was a process of deregistering had already taken place. Those companies had to be re-registered again, whilst they had assets. Gamhlabane is a research farm. So there's also the question of the poll treatment plan, because when a question was asked, why is, for instance, Eskom paying almost four times the price that people buy the poles from us? We were told that, in fact, SAFCOL does not have pole treatment plants, whilst in fact there's more than one pole treatment plant that were not operational, that could have, the matter could have been, firstly, the pole treatment plant is an asset, it's a big asset in itself. Practically every asset that was misrepresented to us is an asset, none of them is costing less than $1 million. You know? So, because on the basis of the questions that we were asking, we also asked for information to be provided, which information was not being provided. In fact, we deferred matters in board meetings because management was not giving us the information that we were asking for after they failed to answer the questions. And by the way, one of them, if you notice in the financials, the restatement that includes the issue of the minority shareholding that were included
in the past as part of so-called assets was in fact, which created a different impression of asset state of the financial status of the company, whilst in fact those are not assets of SAFCOM. They are held in trust for the community. And in when there were issues about resolving that, because one of the tasks that the board was given by the minister on our appointment was that we need to resolve the issue of the minority shareholding, because it creates a problem, because the communities don't see value and they don't know what's happening. And we are sitting on those assets, and those assets needed to be transferred somewhere else. And there was a dispute. And when we tried to get this sorted out, the executive could not, in fact, they had a different view, but when I had a meeting with the department and I was given a different picture, then we had as a board to ask for the actual documentation so that we can make the determination, because obviously we were not getting direction. And we could not get even that. These are some of the matters that got deferred, so much that we realized that as a board, we would not be in a position to continue to function properly unless we have access to information. Hence, we resolved to appoint 2RM to assist us with determining the status of the company as indicated in the presentation here. And when we did that, then the CFO and the CEO tendered their resignation. But then the other, which is the COO and the executive HR, those were suspended. In fact, if I recall, they were suspended in December. And there were charges that were preferred against them. And then they subsequently resigned after the process, which did not conclude the process of internal hearing. So that was basically the process. So there was no haunting of the executive as such, but the issues related to them cooperating with the board and us getting the correct information, and of course also the issues, as you can see, the things that I've just mentioned indicate serious violations. Where the board, if the board does not ask the correct question, you assume that things are fine. Yeah. And because we asked specific questions, and then when the questions could not be answered, we asked for the documentation so that we're in a position then to determine from ourselves which documentations were not coming. That's why I'm saying, in fact, in certain instances, we had to defer matters on the agenda more than once because the documents were not coming, whilst the answers were also not forthcoming. So this is about the executive, Madam Chair and Honourable Member. And in terms of what their performance, the performance of the different members, I'm sure, based on what you have now seen, you can see that there were also challenges there. And these are the things that the current board, with the current executive, is in the process of sorting out. In fact, there's a lot of work that had to be done. In fact, one of the issues that was a very serious concern was the issue of responding to the AG. The findings in the previous financial year. The AG identified a number of challenges that needed to be sorted out. And practically all those challenges were only sorted out from January this year. If you were to look at the kind of work that was done between January this year and March in order to sort out those issues. There is so much that was done, which are things that were supposed to have been done immediately after the AG had issued its findings. So this, on the part of the board, I must indicate that the board, both myself and other members of the board, we had no brief other than to turn around the company. And the people who were working there, in fact, some of the people who are even working there now, all they understand is that the culture of doing things in the company needed to change for the company to be in a position to be turned around. And of course, both in terms of the disclosure of information, as well as in terms of how we relate with our stakeholders. Perhaps if you also notice even the report that the integrated report that is in front of you, you'll notice that the content, the level of disclosure has basically changed. There are things that you did not get in the previous report that you have now, because that is the approach that we are dealing with. I think that should be sufficient for now, Madam Chair, on the question.
Thank you very much. Is there any follow-up? I must just say that we are going to come in and observe our party. We saw what happened last year. We told you the previous meeting. There was something, people was running away from us, the board members wasn't. Junior people was there to assist, and we couldn't proceed with the meeting. So we expected it. Over to you, on the
Just a follow-up, and it's not in the obligation of the chairperson to say it's sufficient what he has just said. It's us who will tell you that it's sufficient. You have answered sufficiently to the questions. Look,
I'm sorry, chairperson, the reason why I was saying this, there's another meeting, chairperson. We can either come back and do, or we, or someone mustn't come and say we take too long, because the Pago also want to have a bite, and they ask us to be short. So it's not sufficient, I understand, but if needed to, that's why I'm saying, to get more information, they must give us the reasons and
I'm aware of that. And I take note of that, Chairperson. Look, you have disorganized me, actually. But then I said you only gave us a brief on the executive, but there's, in the context of the numbers that you have in the institution, or the people who have resigned and dismissed, I take it as a serious case that must be brought and be followed. And there's a little bit vague point or obscured side on my part, because you are a new board, and I understand that before you could be appointed, it was a board. Now, your response triggers to me that to have an interest on the relationship of the board members and this executive, because you can't just do as you wish, mismanage and devour resources and misappoint people, and people are being charged, and the board was not on top of a command of issues. Maybe the DDG will give us another version, or anyway, to collect the visual. It's important to talk to us here, you know, because I understand that you are a new board, but there was a board which all these things happened under the leadership of that particular board. I think there's a gap in my mind that must be closed. I understand the agency of Mr. Swago's or Honorable Swago's meeting is an important meeting, but even this one.
I just wanted to clarify something before I get to the DG. The response, the honorable member, I think misunderstood my background to the response.
Okay.
Because the background to the response was that I will only deal with the executives, and then it's the others who deal with the rest. So it's not something that's left out.
Thank you, Chair and honorable members. I think a fair question has been asked with regard to the quality of oversight. You know, how can these sort of things be happening in these entities under our watch, so to speak? What I just want to say to the members is that we became aware of these issues, unfortunately, about two financial years ago. Fortunately, in the employ of SAFCOL, there's still a lot of good people, people that felt it necessary that this issue should be brought to attention. Because the previous board had commissioned through the internal audit function, had commissioned the forensic investigations. Because these things did come to their attention. And some of those investigations, and there was an entity that had been commissioned to perform that particular work, not TRM, it was Alchemy Forensic Investigators that were commissioned to do the work. There were people that were identified to be committing the theft, so to speak, of public assets, and the previous management was very lax in dealing with those particular matters, and some of those good employees said, "No, we must raise these issues with the department," and the department through the ministry raised these issues with the board. The minister formally wrote to the previous board to say, "I need to see action here." And the board was in the midst of dealing with these issues, including taking the executives to task. Unfortunately, that board term came to an end, and a new board came in. And this board was made aware of these issues by the minister to say, "You must go in and look into these particular issues." Of course, as they came in, they saw it necessary to commission further investigation where they found out new things. So I just want to allay the fears of the members as to that these things are happening without us being aware. Because some of the questions that this board was asking, the questions that from our side we're asking. But I think one of the critical issues that must be dealt with as well is the regime under which oversight is done. Because we are doing it under the Companies Act, as well as the PFMA. And those two pieces of legislation are not adequate for us as government to be able to do proper oversight. For instance, if you own any company, if you own a stake in a company, you would make sure that either yourself or someone close to you sits on the board of these entities. We don't have that. So as a department, as officials, we don't sit on the boards. You are quite far removed from this, so we rely solely on the reports that come from the board to tell us what is happening. And if that reports are not telling us anything, we don't get to know what is going on in these businesses. And the SOC reform work that has been done, one of the things that is going that it will be doing is that it will be putting in place legislation to enable government to do proper oversight over these particular entities. And it's from the department side, we are hoping one of the areas that will be addressed the issue of representation on the boards of these particular entities. Because at least if you have an official sitting on that board and things go wrong, we can take action against that particular say. You ought to have known, because you are there, you're in the business, you're getting monthly management accounts as well as quarterly reports which are sent to the departments. You should have ensured that these issues are brought to the attention of the department. So those are the critical issues really going forward that we need to look at it collective with the members to say, do we have appropriate governance mechanisms to be able to address these issues as they arise going forward. So, yeah, so that those are just the issues, Chair, that I should address. Maybe just to, more action has to follow from this particular. We are expecting the entity, not only through the criminal action that has been taken there, through the cases that have been shared, but also civilian action must be taken. We cannot, because we know how overloaded our criminal justice system is. So the company definitely must look into taking its own action to recover some of the losses that have been experienced. And that there are a further action that must be taken, because we have dealt, the company has dealt with the executive and senior managers, but there are also managers and supervisors that are implicated. So we expect to see further disciplinary action being taken against those, as well as criminal and civilian court proceedings against him.
Thank you, Dean. I just want to check on the oversight issue that you have shortly. What are you doing by the recommendations of the PRC, the Presidential Review Committee? They say you must, there must be a policy, you must develop some policy to be able to do proper oversight. How far in
Chair, that process is unfolding. In Ethiopia, there was a briefing made to cabinet, I think 2 weeks ago, giving progress on that particular work. So the work in developing the, I don't have the timelines, unfortunately, with me, but there is, the draft policy has been developed, but there has to be legislation as well that will be making its way through the process. I'm hoping, hopefully before long, you'll be seeing it.
Thank you.
Can you proceed with the
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll give the acting CEO to respond to some of the questions, and then we move around. Thank you.
Thank you, Jay. I'm going to quickly start, just to conclude this matter, on this specific question. When we started, the minister tasked the board, maybe just background, I'm also a board member and I was asked to take over as acting when the CEO stepped down. When we were asked, the minister told us that there was a number of investigations that was done but never followed through with. So whatever recommendations came through to top management back then, and executives, they did not action. And the first task that she gave us was conclude those matters. So what we're reporting on here is not, this is not what happened in just one financial year. This is over a period of time. With regards to have we recouped any of the financial losses we've suffered, that process is in progress. These matters were criminally, we've opened the cases. It's been sent through to the National Prosecutor. And they are still gathering the information and deciding what they're going to do going forward. From our side, it's now out of our hands. So we can't push it from our side. We've also asked that the portfolio committee that any intervention would be welcome to push that forward. So in some cases we have been, what's the right word, where service providers were appointed irregularly, and it came about that we can't pay them because of that. We've received some summonses of some of those service providers, and what we've done is we've joined the people responsible in those cases to answer for that. So from a company's point of view, we are taking every step to recoup where we can. But on the criminal side, we're waiting on that proceedings there. I'm going to run through all the questions, and I'm going to hand over some of the questions to my HR and finance department. With regards to land claims, and why do we have so many investigations versus where we are in negotiation already, and that. You must remember that SAFCOL is, I want to say, almost the external party here. We are contributing as much as we can, but it sits under land reform. So, and we are having trouble there. It's very, very slow there, and we actually urge this committee for assistance where, if possible. And it's a very, very slow process. We've had some issues in Sabi area specifically with land claimants, and the problem that we are having is that the communities are saying it's not happening. It's not happening fast enough, and they've even tasked us, and they said they don't want to meet with the Mpumalanga representatives of those departments because nothing is happening. So it is a huge problem for us, and intervention there is definitely welcome. With regards to the model, DPE as well as the board raised that, as you see, we're following the industry standard leaseback model. The problem with that is that, and this is issues that the communities raise, the problem with that is it is not a sustainable model, because at the end of the day, the communities get something like 200 rand a year for rent per household. So it's not sustainable. And we know that if that is going to be the model, we're going to lose those plantations, because it will be more viable for them to plant other products or to have cattle or whatever the case. So what they've asked us is, how can you involve us in your operations so that the communities can benefit? And what we're doing now is, and you've asked time frames, we had a meeting with our deputy minister, and we've actually, there was a task team identified between SAFCOL as well as DPE, who will now put together that plan together with land reform and present that. But basically what we want to do is involve and align everything that we do. So from our procurement to our ED as well as CSI projects, align all of those so that the communities can benefit, as well as operations. So, for example, the one issue that the communities raised was to say, well, you do silviculture or you do harvesting, but you bring people in from outside. Use us, we are here. So we're looking at a model to involve them way closer into our operations, and also then align our enterprise development so that they can assist us going forward with the business. There was a question regarding the minimum qualifications that was identified in the in the audit, and the question was why were they appointed? At the time of the appointment, they did adhere to the specifications at that time. What we've then done, through the audit, they've identified the new specs and the new structure, or the structure at the time, now requires them to have different skills. So we've done a gap analysis. Some of those individuals are very close to retirement, so we are putting a plan in place to either train them or see how we're going to handle it forward. But I'll ask the HR executive to just continue on that point with a little bit more detail. With regards to the discounts, the BBBE discounts, what we've realized when we came in is that SAFCOL does not have a, I'm going to put it in an example. For any manufacturing company, you'll have an input cost to say this bottle is going to cost me 5 rand to produce, and we're going to sell it for 7 rand, we're going to make 2 rand profit. With SAFCOL, it did not work like this. They would thumbsuck a number to say, this bottle is costing us 4 rand. And then from there, they go into the tender process to allocate, the auction process is what we call it. So we never had a concrete, this is our cost to produce a tree. And when we came in, we said, well, I've tasked our finance division to say, get that cost for us, because we are going to keep on making losses if we don't know what our raw material cost is to produce. One of the issues identified was the BE discounts, where certain companies that were buying from us did not have the valid BE certificates. It was also found that it was done in such a way that if your BE status would change during the period, it's at the day of awarding. So at the 1st of April, if you had a level 2 and you lose it on the 5th, you would still get your discounts through the entire year. So it was issues like that that we just had to clean up. It doesn't mean that we do not want to stimulate the growth and development of the up-and-coming markets. And suppliers and our client base. It just means that we're really looking at that model to see how can we change the model to benefit them. The one problem in this industry is it's not transformed, and we need to get to a way how we can transform this business or this industry. And it's way broader than just us supplying logs. When I started, I had a meeting with one of our bigger suppliers, and his view was the Achem clients, and his view was SAFCOL should just produce logs, and the rest of the players in the field should be processing the logs, which is a big concern, because SAFCOL cannot be sustainable if we just sell our raw material. You can't grow and work on a product for 30 years just to sell it off and you don't get the value from it. So SAFCOL's view is that we need to vertically integrate as well as horizontal and get more land and more plantations, but we need to vertically integrate. And we don't see ourselves, we don't want to take over the market. What we want to do is we want to create opportunity for other businesses to come in and play in this field. What's currently happening is because we can't control where our logs go and what happens to them, the wood industry in South Africa is not growing. It's throttled by your sawmillers. There's over 160 products that comes from a tree, and we're not even close to, I wouldn't even say we have 10 that we use in South Africa. So we see SAFCOL as the facilitator and to build the wood culture and industry in South Africa. That's where we want to play. With regards to the bonuses that was paid, or was the bonuses paid in 2013-14 and 14-15, I'll ask HR to just respond on that. I think I've addressed the leaseback model, so I'll hand over to Executive HR.
Out of the 12 members that actually was of the 12 members, it's actually 38 positions all in all, so it's about 30% of our senior management that was implicated in these cases. The demographics was 8 white male, 2 African male, and then 2 female from different categories. During the period of 2013-14, there was no performance bonuses paid, but during the period of 2014-15, there were performance bonuses paid to the CFO, the COO, and the senior executive HR. In terms of the training programs, Chair, listen, I was not 100% sure in terms of which specific program is referred to, but the majority of our community interventions and training interventions are focusing on the 3 provinces that we're operating, which is Mpumalanga, Limpopo, and KZN. And then in terms of the minimum qualifications, there was a verification done to establish, and there were 18 employees found to not have the minimum qualifications out of over 300 employees. And those are qualifications, as the CEO has referred to, where they were not the required minimum qualification when the employees were initially appointed some years ago. The profiles have been, job profiles were updated and benchmarked to ensure that we align ourselves with the market and the requirements. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you for all the questions. Honorable Mr. Falcon, followed by Honorable Falcon.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and my apology for this technological disturbance. Look, the input, actually I wanted to make a follow-up. The mention was made of irregularity in the appointment.
Thank you. I'm going to allow the Honorable Member also to deal with that. I can understand I'm BBT in UHL, but she sorted.
The irregular appointment. Also, getting into your shoes, really, I do sympathize. As the committee, what is it that you think we can assist to expedite this process of transformation, which we have realized that we have stuck with that one, you see? So that is just an important language.
I'm actually disturbed in Salo by the fact that Salo how deep is the rot in our institutions? Yeah, but as it doesn't measure, I think. But then I just wanted to make a follow up on this 38 employees whom some of them were not qualifying and they were employed some years ago. But then the question is, they are still within the establishment. They are not being dismissed, and that does not or has not affected their salary and packages, fringe benefits, all that. Mm-hmm. And then that's a follow-up that I wanted to check.
No, I just wanted to make a suggestion. This thing of unresolved land claims is a major problem. And I think for us to assist them as well is for Honorable Sifako to call a meeting of rural development and agriculture so that we simply address this issue here. It's a major problem. Together with them, they must be there as well. So that is my suggestion on that one.
Honorable Safar is the chairperson of the export portfolio. And we all are serving in the export portfolio. We are a cluster. Therefore, it's a very good suggestion that we will have a joint meeting so that we can understand where the bottleneck, understanding some of the issues that we're presenting to us, but it's not sufficient to it, but they must come
President, I really appreciate the proposal by the honorable member. But indeed, I think it will be proper if we can take that meeting to the oversight side. Yeah, we go and make oversight and we call all those departments in that area. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I want to follow up on the issue of 20 young people that got to be trained by the department. It's on your page 21 of your annual report on the left-hand side paragraphs. So that's why I was making I was asking a question on that. It's based on that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Definitely, we would welcome, in fact, with regards to sorting out the problem of the delays with the land takes. In fact, our view is that it may even help if the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform was to have a dedicated person or a dedicated team that would focus on SAFCOL claims. See, because one of the challenges that we had going to the elections, local government elections, were occupations. And those occupations...
Sorry, Chairperson. I think we are in agreement, Honorable Chair, that there must be in one room. But my suggestion, maybe to assist Chairperson, is that maybe you, in that meeting or before the meeting, they get the list of all the land claims that you are concerned about, you know, so that when they come into that meeting, they must come with answers as to how far, and then maybe the issue of what you are raising in terms of a dedicated team to fast track this thing, because we can't be, actually it's not only SAFCOL, our people are held at ransom because of these land claims, which are not being processed fast, Chairperson. I just wanted to come in on that one. Thanks.
I'm going to allow you to respond. If we can finish by half past 11, then thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We'll be quick. On the number of the 20 young people that were trained, the question was answered. I think it was not very clear. The 20 young people are people who are based in Limpopo. In fact, Tumbadona. Yes. So, and the people that have been trained are people who are coming from within the areas of operations for SAFCOL, because it's part of what we do as part of enterprise development. So that's where the people are coming from. So they are not coming from the rest of the country. Yes, we have heard from the portfolio community. I think we have also heard from you last time that SAFCOL needs to begin to look at operating like a national company instead of it benefiting only three provinces. And we are in the process of considering that. And that process includes the process of where we are in discussions with DAF for the purpose of us taking over management of DAF forests throughout the country so that we can have presence. Because sometimes, in fact, the best way of benefiting people is to help them on something that they are experiencing. Yes. And now if we go to the areas where if we manage take over the management of DAF forests, that are in the other areas of KZN, Eastern Cape, Western Cape, then we are in a position to basically roll out what we have already started with in the areas where SAFCOD is currently operating.
Any outstanding?